Welcome to the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast with Darren Mitchell. If you're a sales leader looking to take your leadership to a whole new level, then this is the podcast for you. We'll be exploring tips, techniques, and strategies to help you take your leadership to the exceptional level and allow you to enjoy more money, more meaning, and better sales results. G'day, and welcome back to the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast. Darren Mitchell here, host of the show. Great to have you on board as always, and hey, loving the feedback, loving the message that I'm getting on LinkedIn and via email. So I really appreciate you listening to the show, and hopefully what I'm talking about and can hopefully continue to talk about is adding value to you in terms of your leadership. But also, if you're paying this forward to your team, there's a lot of stuff we're going to talk about and continue to talk about that will help your team as well in terms of developing their own leadership, their own influence, and certainly increasing the results they get to make it more sustainable, not just for you as a team, but also you as a business. So really appreciate it. And before I forget also, if you can take the time to rate the show on the various platforms, the platform that you're listening to this podcast on, that'd be greatly appreciated. And if you haven't subscribed, please do yourself a favor and subscribe, because that will let me know to let you know when a new episode is up and running. So we're doing this 5 days a week, Monday to Friday. So there's 5 episodes a week for you to binge on, to listen to, and hopefully it's adding value to you in your business. So again, greatly appreciate you listening in. So on Friday, we talked about influencing, and I talked specifically about a number of what qualities an effective influencer possesses. And we talked about empathy, coherence, and flexibility being the three core pillars, if you like, of influence, all underpinned by the ability to plan and the functionality to plan. And the key thing around planning is to make sure you do plan. And I referred to a number of laws of influence that I wanted to talk about today. And I said I'd record a podcast this week on the laws of influence, which comes from a guy called Robert Cialdini. So I wanted to spend today just going through at a high level the laws of influence and how it applies to selling, but also how we can actually use these to apply to our sales leadership role as well, in terms of how we influence our team, how we influence our key stakeholders within customers that we deal with, but also how we just influence key stakeholders full stop, and how can we use these laws to our best advantage to make sure that our influence continues to develop, continues to evolve, and we get the results that we want on a sustainable basis. So if you haven't read the book, I highly recommend you get your hands on this. It's called Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion by Robert Cialdini, PhD. Now, it was written originally, just opening the book here, it was written, I think, it was written last century. First edition, I think, was about 1984, and it was an updated version in 2007. This is the version I've got. So it's a fantastic book. It's a pretty heavy book, but it's a must read for all people in sales, and certainly people in marketing as well. Now, what I've done is, through a lot of mentors, they've helped me, I guess, distill and put these into an order that is useful for a sales team, for a sales executive, and also for a sales leader when it comes to using these laws. Now, Cialdini doesn't put these into any particular order, but he goes into a lot of detail for each of these. Now, I don't have time in the podcast today to go through in great detail for each of these, so I just wanted to give you a high-level overview of each of the laws and then just give you some application in terms of how we use these to our fullest advantage, but also making sure that we're delivering this with the express intention of developing good relationships, adding value, serving both our teams, but also serving key stakeholders, and certainly serving our customers and getting the win-win outcomes that ultimately will underpin sustainable results over the long term. So as we go through, just think about how you potentially could be using these. Ask yourself, are you using these today? Because sometimes you might be unconsciously using these and not necessarily be focused on it or aware of it. So at least bringing this into your conscious awareness today might help you just confirm that you're doing some stuff really well. And if not, there might be some blind spots or some things you might not be doing as effectively as you could that you can then utilize and apply in the next conversation, the next iteration with a customer, etc. So we'll go through these at a high level. And as I said, welcome any feedback. Love to get your comments as to how this applies to you, and any questions that come out of it, I'm more than happy to answer them. So let's have a look at this. Law number one. Law number one is the law of reciprocity. Now, this is a law that not a lot of people spend a huge amount of time focused on consciously. And it's as simple as this. Law of reciprocity says that if you look to serve somebody, if you give somebody your attention, then the law of reciprocity says that unconsciously that person feels obligated to give you something in return. Now, this can be as simple as saying hello to somebody. Now, I'm staggered at the number of people that you meet on a daily basis that you say good morning to and they don't reciprocate. Now, a lot of this depends on the personal or the behavior style of the individual, because there are some people who don't necessarily find it natural to ask you how you are. But typically, a really simple example is you see somebody on the Monday morning and you say, hello, good morning, how was your weekend? And you start a conversation. Now, what should happen under the law of reciprocity is when you ask that and start getting engaged in a conversation, the person who you're having a conversation with should then reciprocate and actually give you the benefit of asking you how you were and how was your weekend at the same time. So law of reciprocity at its really basic level is the unconscious obligation to feel as if you need to give something back to somebody because they've given something to you. Now, at a really basic level, as I said, it's the hello, good morning, but it's also thinking about it from a sales context. If you give value to a customer, it could be a free strategy session, or it could be a free product sample. It could be a trial of a certain service for 10 days, 30 days, whatever the case might be. And if there's no cost associated to it, but there's a value associated to it, then the law of reciprocation says that the person who is receiving that should feel obligated to give you something back in return for that service or for that product or for that compliment or whatever it is that you've given them. And law of reciprocity is something that salespeople use a lot and can use really effectively, but also marketing people do it really well as well, because it's the free trial, it's the free sample, it's the try before you buy, all that sort of stuff is the law of reciprocity, which is designed to invoke a response from the buyer, from the potential purchaser, from the potential customer, that they want to give you something back in return. Now, a really key element of this is there are too many sales teams out there, too many salespeople out there that are looking for reciprocity as a transaction. Now, this is where it doesn't work so well, in that you're looking to give somebody something, but in return, you want them to give you something back in return. So it doesn't work like that. The law of reciprocity pretty much states that I'm going to give something of value to you, and the law of reciprocity says, well, they will feel obliged to give me something in return, but I'm not going to push them for it. When I'm talking about sales and sales leadership, using the law of reciprocity is simply looking at how you can add proactive value to somebody, but not expecting anything in return. So don't make it a transaction. Give because you want to give value. Now, if that happens, then the law of reciprocity will take care of the rest. And there will be some customers out there that won't use the law of reciprocity, and that's perfectly okay. They're probably not going to be your ideal customer anyway. But I guarantee you, the more you put things out there, the more people will feel unconsciously obligated to give something back in return. So a law of reciprocity is the first law. The second law is the law of authority. Now, when we use this to great effect. So when people want to do business with you, they're looking for what sort of credibility do you have. So the law of authority is, are you an authority on your topic? Are you an expert in your particular field? If you're selling technology, are you a technology expert, or are you in the top 10% of your field? Is this your genius zone? So the law of authority says, well, how can I give people the feeling that they're dealing with somebody who has the authority and the experience and the wisdom to be able to be a good supplier to our organization? So how do you use that? Well, it's through things like testimonials, it's through things like case studies, it's through things like recommendations. So if you look at a lot of the platforms, LinkedIn as a prime example, there are a lot of people who have recommendations and endorsements on LinkedIn, and that goes to adding to a level of credibility and therefore potentially to the law of authority to say this person has the authority or has the experience to be able to deal in this particular area. So how can you use this in your particular industry? How can you use this in your particular position? What sort of authority do you have, and how can you demonstrate you've got this authority so that people will stand up and listen to you? And this is what it's not about. It's not about, hey, I'm the boss, you need to listen to me, therefore do as I say. That's not the law of authority. It can be used that way, but you won't get good long-term results. The law of authority pretty much says that who are you? What have you done? What level of credibility can you bring to the table to the point where people want to listen to you? That is the law of authority. So when I'm starting workshops, for example, we've got to give a bit of a preamble. And so people who are brand new, they don't know me from Adam or Eve, they've got to know who is this person running this workshop. So I've got to start with giving a bit of background and pretty much giving some like a 5-minute spiel on what my experience is, not to tell them how good I am, but to give them a sense and a feeling that maybe for this particular workshop, I might have a level of credibility, might have some experience, might have some knowledge that I can impart. And in doing that, I'm actually using the law of authority, because they're more likely to listen to somebody who has been where they've been, and therefore more likely to listen to what I've got to say, and therefore they'll get a better outcome and I'll get a better outcome for the workshop. So the law of authority, look at how you can use that in your particular industry. And it's not based on, hey, look at me, look how good I am. It's more a case of positioning you as the authority of your industry or the authority of the topic that you're a genius in. That's the second law, the law of authority. The third law is a law of likability. Now, this has two elements to it. One is people like to do business with people who they know, they like, and they trust. So whenever we're doing this, people are wanting to be thinking, well, do I like this person? Can I relate to this person? It's do I like them as an individual? Can I see myself developing a relationship over the long term with this person, and therefore how likable are they? Do I like them? That's the first element. The second element is likability in terms of, well, if you can empathize with people and then they can say, well, this person is just like me, that can add to another level of credibility, because in a lot of cases, there's a huge gap between where somebody is and, I mean, let's be honest, there's a lot of gurus out there who profess to be an expert in certain areas. Now, for a lot of people looking at those quote-unquote gurus, there's this massive gap between where we are as individuals and that guru. So sometimes they put them up on a pedestal. And so the law of likability is about, okay, if this person is a guru, how do we actually get that guru to empathize with people and close the gap between where they are perceived to be and where they actually are in terms of how can they help that individual? And so if people who are listening to you can actually think, well, he's just like me or she's just like me. Not only do I like them, but they're like me, i.e. we might share the same challenges, we might share the same industry background, we might share the same issues, we might share the same opportunities, whatever that is, if I can empathize with them and I can get people to think, well, he is just like me or she is just like me, then it enables me to close the gap. Now, when that happens, it all of a sudden means it's easier for me to now influence that particular person because I've now used the law of likability. Now, what I should say with all of these should be used and must be used with a level of integrity. This is not about being somebody who you're not. This is about being somebody who is authentic and who is genuine. But knowing these laws and knowing how to use these laws will enable you to take advantage of them to therefore increase your level of influence and further on from what we talked about on Friday. Now, the next one is the law of social proof. Now, think about this as third party endorsements. Now, just because if you're a salesperson in particular talking to a potential customer, you might be leading towards, oh, this is a fantastic product. I've got the best of breed services on the marketplace, and this is why you should do business with us. Social proof is one of the greatest things because this is a third-party endorsement. So the people who are going to be purchasing your product, they're more likely to believe somebody who is just like them, who has purchased a product from you, purchased a service and had a great experience. They're more likely to believe them than they are to believe you, particularly if you're the person selling that particular service. Because let's be honest, in people's brains, everybody thinks they've got the best product and the best service, and therefore their behavior can come across as being, this is where sometimes the pushy salesperson comes into it, in terms of that fixation, because salespeople believe they've got the best product, the best service, and they sometimes don't understand why customers just don't fall over themselves to buy their product because they think they've got the best product. The law of social proof says, well, this organization over here used our product to solve a particular problem. And if you have a third-party endorsement for somebody who's looking to purchase a product or purchase a service from you, then there's more likely to add a high level of credibility, because somebody who is just like them, who really has no vested interest in you purchasing that product or not, if they say had a great experience with it, then more likely that person who's about to buy a product or looking to buy a product from you, they're more likely to purchase that product through social proof. So also think about how you can use that from a sales context, sales leadership context as well, in relation to social proof. And it could be in terms of dealing with bringing in new people to your team. Could it be in terms of bringing new partners? Don't just rely on yourself to influence people. Look at how you can actually put people in contact with other key stakeholders who are key partners who really don't have a vested interest in supporting you, but they can give genuine and authentic feedback in terms of what it's like to work with you and to work with your team. So the law of social proof is a really important one. So just think about this is third party proof. Just don't take it from me that I have the best product. It's who's used my product. And who can be an endorser for my product, who can recommend my product. So social proof is a really, really powerful thing. The next law is the law of consistency and commitment. Now in sales, we talk a lot about, well, if you can actually get your customer or your potential customer to say yes multiple times during a sales conversation, then they're more likely to say yes to the big question. And whilst that's true, the law of consistency and commitment, I look at it this way. It's about how can I as a leader be really consistent with everything I do. Now, it's me being committed to great practices. It's being committed, me being committed to the daily practices, the daily disciplines that I do. It's being consistent with how I actually manage my team. It's being consistent with how I turn up, how I run meetings, how I have conversations. So from an example, from a consistency and a commitment point of view, if I can be consistent as a sales leader, then there's more likely that I'm going to have committed team members who are more happy to be consistent and commit to the team, to the cause, because I'm being consistent. In a selling context, you've got to be consistent and get some commitments from your customers, which means you have to build trust with your customers and keep doing the things you promise you're going to do when you're going to do them. And so if you can do that and use the law of commitment and consistency in everything you do with your customers, there's a higher level of probability that you're going to be able to influence them because you're being consistent and you're having a commitment to excellence towards them, which means that they'll feel obligated, going back right back to the first law being the law of reciprocity, they will feel obligated to now come back to you and commit to something as well. So look for opportunities where you can use consistency to your advantage, and you can not only look for others to make commitments, but it starts with you making commitments to others. It's the small things that over time will add up to great things that will lead to big results and more sustainable results. So the law of consistency and commitment is, understand this, that if you can be consistent in everything you do, and if you can then have conversations with potential customers and ask them to be consistent as well, and doing that through showing and demonstrating first that we're consistent, then you've got a lot better chance of them saying yes to the products and the services, as long as you can actually find a niche or a need for that particular service, identify a problem, they're more likely to commit to you because you've been consistent, because you've shown the way. And then the last one is the law of scarcity. And marketers use this all the time. You just have to look at television ads and radio ads. Law of scarcity happens every single day. Harvey Norman is one of the best proponents of this. Literally every single week they've got a 40 months or 50 months interest-free, ends on Monday. So the law of scarcity says that I've only got a finite number of resources or opportunities for you to do business with us, or I've got a limited amount of time. So this is a great way to actually get people to not so much force them to make a decision, but give them a timeline or give them an understanding there's only a limited amount of resources available, limited amount of opportunities to take advantage of this particular product. So from a law of scarcity point of view, and we need to be able to use this because it is really effective, but don't use it for evil, use it for good. Where it's really effective is to incite a customer to make a decision. Because let's be honest, if people were left to their own devices, they'd probably continue to procrastinate and not make decisions in the time that they really should be. And so from a selling perspective, that's why proposals that are given to customers, they have an expiry date. So we'd like a decision by the end of next week or by the end of the month, whatever it is. Or if you're selling a certain number of products at a certain price, we only have this amount of widgets available for this amount of time at this particular price. Once they're all gone and post this date, then the price goes up, etc. So using the law of scarcity to your advantage can increase your level of influence. So that's just a really high level of the six laws. And I put them in order there because it starts with the law of reciprocity. It then goes on to the law of authority. Who are you and why should they listen to you? Law of likability is all about how do they feel about you? Do they like you? Do they feel as if they are like you and you are like them? So there's a connection there. Once you've got that, then you can bring in a law of social proof to say, well, these are the other people who have used my product, used my service, worked in my team, etc., etc. So it's a good idea to then explore further as to why we should be working together. Law of consistency and commitment, it starts with us being really consistent and being committed to consistency, which therefore unconsciously will invoke a response in the other person that they should also and will want to also be consistent and commit and committing to whatever it is, the course of action that you want to take. And then the final one is the law of scarcity in terms of how can we actually use that to our advantage. And it could be we've only got a certain amount of time before prices go up, or we need to make decisions for various reasons. So look at how you can use all of those in your day-to-day activities for your sales team, but also pay this forward to your sales team and help them distill messages and actually in their conversation with their clients, how can they help their clients make better decisions and quicker decisions so that they can increase the level of influence. So I trust that message makes sense. Just realize that we're always using these laws, sometimes whether we like it or not, whether we're aware of them or not. So hopefully if you're aware of them, you can now use them for good, help put that forward to your team and help them use it. And therefore in the process, not only help them drive more sustainable results and increase their level of influence, but you in the process also increase your level of influence as a sales leader moving towards being that exceptional sales leader. I'll talk to you on the next episode. All the best. Thank you for listening to the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast. I trust the information in this episode has been helpful in your journey towards becoming exceptional. And remember, please take the time to rate the show, subscribe to the show so other people can find it. But also, if I can help you, jump on my calendar, go to leadwithdarren.com and let's have a conversation about how I can help you along your journey to being exceptional.